KALW.
Colin was just a go, 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 active, sporty, funny kid. He was a good kid seeming to go in the right direction.
Today, how high school students honored the life of a classmate who died.
Colin wasn't taking the drugs because he was just this happy kid, wanted to party. He was really struggling with being alone.
A fentanyl overdose inspires student journalists to act. Then we hear how a wellness center helped one student graduate.
I tried every day. Every day I wanted to stay home. I wanted to ask my mom, could I stay home? I just didn't have the energy.
And teenagers at Burton High share their thoughts on the struggles they face.
Some things that stress me out is school. Me being worried about homework, worried about the next quiz. Another thing that stressed me out is my parents.
Today, we're talking about teen mental health. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. This evening, KALW is hosting a candid conversation about the challenges young people face and the tools they can use to handle them. That's happening at our downtown San Francisco event space at 220 Montgomery. Addressing teen mental health is more timely than ever, since California is seeing a rise in overdose deaths among young people. That spike is driven by fentanyl, a drug 50 times stronger than heroin and 100 times more powerful than morphine. Today, in an excerpt from our podcast TBH, made by, about, and for teenagers, we hear from reporter Carolina Cuadros about how one student's overdose inspired his peers to honor his life.
From my perspective, trends are the downfall of our modern society. They fade away just as fast as they emerge. I've seen it happen so many times at my school, Carmont High School. This pattern can seem harmless when it comes to how we dress or what we eat, but simply moving on from one social or political cause to the next can have consequences, and so can failing to address tragedies in a meaningful way. I observed an outlier my junior year of high school when my classmates refused to move on. This was in 2021, after a high school senior named Colin Walker lost his life after fatally overdosing on a drug laced with fentanyl.
We don't want it to be the only thing that we remember about Colin, you know, and how he died.
Elizabeth Walker is Colin's mom. She goes by Liz, and says she and her family is still trying to put one foot in front of the other. Liz says Colin loved nature, going on adventures, and making everyone laugh.
Colin was just a go, 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 active, sporty, funny kid from the beginning. He was a good kid seeming to go in the right direction.
But she said something inside him changed during his sophomore year of high school. Colin struggled with anxiety and depression, a battle that worsened during quarantine. To cope, Liz said, he bought drugs sold on Snapchat.
Colin wasn't taking the drugs because he was just this happy kid, wanted to party. He was really struggling with being alone. And COVID didn't make that easier. And feeling completely just desperate.
The last time he bought cocaine, it was laced with fentanyl. Liz says Snapchat has made it possible to order drugs as easily as ordering pizza. COVID, the opioid crisis, and easy access to drugs were all coming together at once. And her son was in the middle of it.
Early on, I mean, like, as in the day he died, I knew that we weren't going to just tell people he died of a mysterious illness or passed away suddenly in his sleep. There was no doubt with me and my husband that, you know, we knew right away fentanyl was involved.
One in five deaths in California among young people ages 15 to 24 were caused by fentanyl in 2021. That's according to the analysis of data from the San Jose Mercury News. Fentanyl overdose is not limited to those knowingly consuming the drug.
They're not intentionally taking it. They're buying something on Snapchat. It's not what they thought, and it's killing them.
Colin's death was the first time most of the students at Carmont High School lost a classmate. My friend, Chesney Evert, was part of the journalism program at the school.
I remember sitting in class and our teachers put this like statement on the board about Colin's passing. And like, there were just such a range of emotions from both me and all of my friends. Anger, one, that this had happened to a person so young and a person our age who was just about to graduate high school.
I was there too. I remember grieving his life with all my classmates, especially with my peers in the journalism program. I also grieved the loss of innocence at our school. The mindset of, we are untouchable, disappeared.
This issue was becoming so prevalent that even our bubble of the Bay Area couldn't protect us. And grief and sadness on behalf of him and his family, who, you know, lost a really incredible person. And at the same time, I remember seeing the opportunity for this story to really change the way that we in our community thought about drug use and the dangers of drug use.
Every other month, tragic events occur around the world. And Scott Scoop, Carmont High School's nationally recognized journalism publication, covers them. California wildfires, the Ukraine crisis, the Turkey-Syria earthquakes. These have been the main topics of conversation for the student body for about a week each time.
The way our news cycle functions in the present day, we almost become immune to these tragedies that are so impactful and raw and real.
After that, I'd see the topic disappear from the public's attention. We would move on, forget, and stop actively caring. This was exactly what Scott Scoop set itself to break with Colin Walker.
I wanted to make sure that this issue was not met with that same immunity, because it shouldn't be. The loss of a young person to something as prevalent and dangerous as fentanyl is something that should be highlighted and remembered.
And she would do just that. But it would take time. She and her classmates waited to report on this until Colin's family was ready.
We at Carmont Journalism had a death policy in place, I believe, that we'd never had to use, or we'd just written it following his passing. There was something along those lines. But we wanted to give the family and community enough time to grieve, right? We didn't want to jump in on this coverage because that's obviously doesn't serve anybody.
Eventually, Colin's family did reach out at the beginning of 2022. They wanted the school publication to report on Colin's story and the broader issue of fentanyl lacing. And so the team got to work on what became a massive multimedia project. Chesney led a group of six journalists who worked on multiple platforms: podcast production, video production, news features, and data visuals. Chesney worked closely with the family to make sure the story was delivered accurately and that the family was comfortable with what they planned to publish. She says writing the story actually pushed her to almost rewrite her own code of journalism ethics. For example, she allowed Liz to read the story before publication.
So one I remember is Colin's mom, Liz. She's very funny. She has a great sense of humor. And she made some quip about Panda Express or something, and we put it being Colin's favorite food.
In one of the drafts, Liz left a note about wanting to leave out the details about Panda Express.
When you think of, like, quote-unquote professional journalism, those aren't always the moments that you see highlighted in stories. But we as a team decided that, no, that was the very human, very real and relatable evidence of, like, a mother-son relationship that we really wanted to keep in this piece.
The package, titled They Didn't Ask for Fentanyl, was published in March of 2022. The pieces educated the school community on fentanyl lacing, described who Colin was and what led to his death. The stories also explained potential solutions, like the widespread use of naloxone.
Users often don't know their drugs contain fentanyl. It's not just the Walker family that was impacted by this devastation. The teen death epidemic from fentanyl poisoning is increasing each year.
Anushka Mekharira, my friend and co-managing editor, worked on the audio aspect of the project. It featured an interview with the co-founder of Songs for Charlie an organization Liz and her family worked with to raise awareness about fentanyl lacing. Anoushka says this all provided students with an education they weren't finding anywhere else.
There were definitely, like, students reaching out to me who I've never talked to before, and they were like, hey, I learned a lot from your audio package. Like, I think it was really beneficial that you put that out there.
The student population was eager to learn and hear from other students about an issue that hit so close to home. The students who worked on the journalism project were invited to participate in a discussion about the fentanyl crisis during a presentation in the school's auditorium.
We got to hear more stories and, like, how our project kind of sparked more conversations in the communities.
Colin's mom, Liz Walker, has continued to work with the high school to spread awareness. She spoke to the freshmen during an assembly this past year about fentanyl lacing. She's planning to do the same this year to keep everyone informed, especially those who did not attend Carmont during the time of Colin's death.
If you're personally going to school and someone dies in your high school from drunk driving or from a drug overdose or suicide, there is going to be more awareness. Is that going to prevent all future deaths? No, but maybe some.
Looking back, I didn't even know what the word fentanyl meant before Colin's death. Thanks to the journalism team and his family, my peers and I learned enough about fentanyl to teach others about it, continue educating ourselves, and hopefully prevent more deaths.
That was reporter Carolina Cuadros in an excerpt from our podcast TBH, made by, about, and for teenagers. You can hear from Carolina in person tonight at an event we're hosting about teen mental health at our pop-up space at 220 Montgomery in San Francisco. Find out more at klw.org/220Montgomery. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Next up is another story from TBH. Jamarian Adro talks about finding support at his school's wellness center.
It had been a year since I stepped into a classroom when I finally went back to school last year. It wasn't easy going that long staying in one home. That experience changed me. Before the pandemic, it was so easy for me to talk to new people. I was joyous. But then when the pandemic started, it took all of that away. I didn't talk to people outside my house. My brother, Joseph Adro, is 21 years old, and he graduated from high school in June 2021. He's also dealt with his own mental health challenges when he was in high school. We're really close.
I love my brother. I'm going to say my relationship with him is very tight. We get along very well. We always look out for each other. I always make sure he got everything he need. And we always talk to each other whenever we got a problem in each other's lives.
Now he's helping take care of our mom and our home and Alice Griffin, a public housing development in the Bayview. He likes to play video games, listen to music, and he makes his own music. When he was in high school, he found help at the Wellness Center. Joseph went to 3 different high schools in San Francisco.
It was hard to cope with. I tried every day. Every day I wanted to stay home. I wanted to ask my mom, could I stay home? I just didn't have the energy just to go to school.
When he was a senior, the school nurse suggested he try the Wellness Center. But he was afraid of what people would think of him. Wellness centers have been in San Francisco public schools since 2000. They're basically a safe place where kids could go to gain skills when they need to cope.
When I walked inside the wellness center, I didn't know how they was gonna feel about me. So I tried to not show my fear as much.
But Joseph didn't have anything to be afraid of. He said going to the wellness center was a wonderful experience. And a nurse told him to make it a goal to go to the wellness center every day. So he went as often as he needed to.
To make sure I was okay if I needed anything, if I needed to always talk to somebody, that they will always be there for me if I needed them.
A few days before I returned to school last fall, Sarah Huey reached out to me. She works for the Occupational Therapy Training Program. That's a nonprofit that contracts with the Wellness Center at Independence High School, where I'd be going. I had already known about Sarah because she worked with my brother when he was a student. But I was still so surprised to hear from her.
Working with you has been so beautiful. I can't even say. I mean, last summer, we were here where we are right now, but you weren't leaving the house, and you were in a very different spot.
Sarah's right. I was in a different spot. I was still in a pandemic state when she called. I actually hung up on her. She called me back, and I eventually picked up. She told me she'd be working with me during the school year. And finally returning to school, I had no idea what to expect. It almost felt like I was taking a shot in the dark and hoping for the best. It did feel good to see people again after so long, but it came with anxiety. Sarah says what I was feeling was normal.
And I think that's really affected mental health. It's such a crucial time to be with friends and to develop those skills, and to have not had it for so many years has really been a setback for a lot of people.
But at first, I still didn't want to use the Wellness Center resources. I'm the type of person to keep problems to myself, and talking to people about my problems wasn't who I was.
Here in Independence, everybody knows about our Wellness Center. You know, we make it known.
That's Andrea Hahn, a school district nurse at Independence High School. I met her while making flashcards with Sarah. My teacher suggested I talk to her, and I went to her for tips on my weight loss journey. That started our weekly check-ins.
We know the data is there that shows that students who are physically and mentally healthy do better academically. They attend school more often.
I used the Wellness Center to take a break and relax, and I found more ways to deal with mental health issues rather than bottle them inside. The fact that Andrea offered to meet with me weekly made me trust her. Andrea says people are talking more about mental health than when she was in school. She says the Wellness Center in San Francisco is a model, studied by other school districts throughout the state. And because Independence is a small school, students can drop in anytime.
We're always fighting for more resources and fighting for more funding to make it even better, but we're ahead of the game. We really are.
The last 13 years I spent in school were not fun. It was an up and down roller coaster, and I finally made it to the end of the ride. It's a huge relief, and 100% the Wellness Center made it possible for me to graduate. Those weekly meetings with Andrea Hahn, the school nurse, and Sarah Huey, the occupational therapist, got me through my senior year. Sarah says I've been consistent too, and continued to show up.
You've been learning so much about yourself and what you like to do, and really pushing yourself every day to do new things, to try things that are weird, to go to events you've never been to. And I can't wait to see what you're gonna do.
Now I'm here, talking about mental health. I plan to continue making spoken word and encouraging other people to reach out. My goal is to show people that they're not alone.
That was reporter Jamarian Adro in an excerpt from our podcast TBH, made by, about, and for teenagers. TBH is opening applications soon. Find out more and sign up for updates at klw.org/TBH. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Before we go, we wanted to share a few more thoughts about mental health from students at Burton High, the very place where our studios are located. They recorded these essays last May for a senior year public health class project.
My name is Lam Weung, and I am currently a senior at Philip and Celebrant High School. I am here on KALW to spread awareness around teen mental health. This topic holds a lot of significance for me because I have also endured a lot of pain due to depression and anxiety. I struggled a lot during the pandemic and began to spiral downwards. I've even lost a friend who was around my age to suicide because they weren't able to reach out to resources in order to address their mental health issues. The teen mental health situation we are experiencing is a crisis. As we all know, the COVID pandemic plummeted the mental state of everyone. Because students have returned back to in-person learning, there has been a myth that the mental health of students have magically gotten better. But after returning to school and observing my fellow peers, I have noticed that overall, many students have lost motivation to push themselves, and that the atmosphere at school feels tense. Teen mental health issues could have many different origins because everyone grows up differently. It could root from issues such as abusive households, bullying at school, sexual abuse, or even exposure to drugs at a young age. All these factors may lead to intense mental health issues. According to the CDC, in 2021, 4 in 10 teens felt hopeless and persistently sad, while 1 in 5 students experienced suicidal ideation. This is a serious crisis that needs to be addressed within our society. The negligence of teen mental health has spiraled so far that people only open their eyes when something big happens, like someone ending their own life. Our society needs to address and end the mental health stigma before the crisis gets worse.
Hi, my name is Fiona. I'm a senior at Burton High School in the Academy of Health Science. I have always had trouble sleeping, but it wasn't until I entered high school that it seemed to become worse. I noticed how some nights I just could not seem to fall asleep, even though my body felt so tired and drained. When I spoke to my friends about sleeping, they shared similar experiences. It felt like it was a universal experience amongst us high schoolers, how we couldn't seem to fall asleep as early as we used to, or how we were kept up all night with homework that some of us didn't even bother going to sleep at all. When a teenager shows signs of being sleep deprived, it is common for their grades to start slipping or for them to fall asleep during class. We can even become more irritated and prone to aggression. So during my senior year of high school, I started research focusing on sleep deprivation amongst teenagers. I found out that teenagers undergo a shift in their circadian rhythms that are responsible for our sleeping habits. This shift causes our melatonin production to begin around 11 p.m., 3 hours later, which is why it feels like we can't fall asleep as early as we used to. While it is difficult to get schools to push back start times, there are other tips to aid in forming healthy sleeping patterns and habits. It's important to set boundaries with yourself that make sleeping a priority, such as getting into bed earlier to influence the body to sleep and avoiding interferences like bright lights and electronics. By taking steps to address the impact that sleep deprivation has, it allows us all to form better relationships with our bodies and needs.
It's Matthew Vila. I'm a senior at Burton High School, and I'm going to be talking about stress. Signs of stress are feeling overwhelmed, the feeling of worry and mental turmoil, being anxious, scared, even sleeping problems. I asked everyone, what should a school do to support wellness? And everyone said the same thing, to normalize the topic and to educate more people because for some people, wellness and mental health is not important. Some things that stress me out is school, me being worried about homework, worried about the next quiz, you know. Another thing that stressed me out is my parents. Their pressure on me to graduate high school and to get a good job, finish college, to take care of my brothers, to help them financially, etc. That stressed me out because I'm just a kid and I want to worry about games or volleyball, basketball, things like that. It kind of worries me because what if I don't make it? What if I don't graduate high school? What if I don't graduate college? The way that I deal with my stress is hang out with friends, going to the mall, eating in a restaurant, playing volleyball, exercising, and meditating, which I find relaxing and soothing for me. Everyone deals with stress. It's very important to let your peers know, your family know, so they can better help you mentally and physically.
My name's Jimena Torres. I am a student at Burton High School. I am currently in the 12th grade. My research topic is depression among high school students. Back in 10th grade, when quarantine happened, I would struggle a lot with my schoolwork. I would always fall behind on my schoolwork and I wouldn't ask for help. When all of my schoolwork stacked up, I felt overwhelmed and I saw no way out of it. All I did was sleep, I ate less, and was in a bad mood due to all the stress that was built up inside of me. I felt like I was drowning in my own thoughts because I was stuck at home. I couldn't go out and was not able to talk to anybody. I am here to propose solutions to the students who are currently struggling the same way I was. One of the best solutions I can give is to get the support of a therapist. When a person seeks out therapy, they are able to talk out all of their thoughts. For me, this meant I did not feel like I was drowning in my own thoughts anymore. There's also prescriptions medications. If you want to try this method, talk to a doctor about your symptoms so they can prescribe the right medication for you. If you are struggling with depression, I want you to know there is hope and reach out to someone who is willing to hear you out because it gets better.
Those were the voices of 2023 Burton High School seniors Lam, Fiona, Matthew, and Jimena. Tune in tomorrow morning at 11. A Half Moon Bay nonprofit is helping an impacted community of farm workers.
Desde el año pasado que estaba el COVID, después vinieron los incendios, después de los incendios vino las inundaciones al principio de año, la masacre.
There was COVID, then came the fires. After the fires, the flooding, and then the massacre.
A special collaboration with Coastside News Group tomorrow morning at 11. Today's Cross Currents team includes Sarah Jesse, Lina Najia Basuni, Devin Strolovich, Ghana Dijo Johnson, Victor Tense, Shireen Adil, Lisa Morehouse, Angela Johnston, Sunni Khalid, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.